You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Why so? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Hey, delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. How you doing this evening? It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. I think we have a particularly yummy show tonight. But before I introduce our guests, a couple of things. Next Sunday is Easter, and that is important for a couple of reasons. First of all, it is the first Sunday in April. And if you live in West County, that is a great day because it means the Sebastopol Farmers Market is opening for the year. It's a great market on the first Sunday. It's always a great market. I love the Sebastopol Farmers Market. But that first day when it comes back after its winter hiatus is just such cause for celebration. So market opens at 10, continues until 1:30. Maybe I'll see you there next week. Also, because it's Easter, Mouthful will not be live next week. We will have some sort of special program, either from Mouthful or from something else on NPR. But, you know, it's just not a day that you can get guests to drive up to Sonoma County and spend an hour in the evening chatting, as much fun as that is. So no live show next Sunday. And as always, if you are on Facebook and become a fan of Mouthful, I always post updates of what will be going on. So if you want more information about exactly what will be happening next Sunday at 7 here on KRCB, check out the fan page. And now we're going to be talking about the once and future Taverna Santi. Great place in Geyserville for a decade and closed late last year and will be opening up sometime really soon in Sebastopol up next to Traversos. So yet another reason to drive to a part of Santa Rosa you may not be familiar with. I've certainly become a lot more familiar with it since Traversos opened. And on that note, I would like to welcome Chef Liza Hinman.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And
so much.
Doug Sweat, who is the owner and general manager. Is that right? You both? Yes.
Yeah,
owner
right.
And general manager, and have been at Santi almost from the beginning.
Almost from the beginning. Came there as the original general manager 2 months into it.
Mm-hmm. And just let's do a little bit of history of the place, because the reason it closed is that, if I have this right, the original owners decided they wanted the space back after the end of the lease.
That's partially correct,
okay.
Yeah. We were, the idea for us was we've always been a destination restaurant, and but we had a small community to draw from, and so
yeah.
Coming into the Santa Rosa market gave us the ability, a chance to appeal to a much broader market.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. It's a schlep from the center of Sonoma County. I mean, there are many times I'd be in Sebastopol and think, you know, if it didn't take so long to get to Santi, I would love to go there tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's a consideration.
Yes, definitely is. And it's also a chance for us to get to introduce ourselves to sort of an expanding food community in Santa Rosa. There's more and more interesting things going on in that town.
Mm-hmm.
And so we felt like this is a good time to enter that area and sort of expand people's knowledge of true Italian cuisine. And
so how is it going to be different? I mean, partly the room. I mean, you had three rooms plus a patio at Santi, right?
That's right.
So what are you going to have at the new space? What will the physical structure, what will it be?
You want to go ahead?
Sure. So it's a... the space is, it's modern because it's a brand new location, mm-hmm. but it's going to be smaller in terms of seating. We sat with the patio almost 200 people at the old restaurant. Now we're going to have more like 85 inside with a 12-seat bar and a couple different dining room sections. And then we're also still going to have a little bit of patio seating.
Oh, you will have patio.
On the sidewalk. So it'll be out in front of the restaurant, and people will be looking west. So it'll be a great afternoon location mm-hmm. for people to come. And we're going to be different as well because we're going to be open lunch and dinner every day of the week, which we've never done before.
Oh, really? 7 days?
Yeah, seven days a week. And we'll be open continuous from 11:30 until 10 at night. Mm-hmm. So we'll have lunch, and then we'll have a bar menu midday. So people who are looking for that middle of the day snack, and, you know, it's so hard to find those things.
I know. If you
especially in wine country, people sometimes, you know, they have odd schedules.
Yeah, and if you want late lunch, it's like, it's really hard.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have a petite menu in the middle of the day with some of our favorites and some more just light snack items for mm-hmm. people who just want maybe a cocktail and a little bit to nibble on. And then we'll open for dinner at 5 and go till 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be, I think, you know, more expansive than a lot of restaurants in the area. And because we're new to the area and because the area is new to a restaurant, Fountain Grove doesn't have anything there, we're really... you know, trying to be as accessible as possible so that we can get as many people in as possible to try us out.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, we should tell them it's out, what, 4 or 5 miles east of 101 in Fountain Grove? Or
it's actually a lot closer. It's only a mile up the Fountain Grove Parkway.
It seems so much longer when you're not 100% positive where you're going.
Exactly. So it's like 1.2 miles up Fountain Grove Parkway, and then you take a right onto Stagecoach Road, and it's immediately on
right
your
there.
Left.
Right
it's
there.
Called the Fountain Grove Village. And mm-hmm. it's actually a really neat community spot. They've done a really great job, the owners of the whole center. There's a great coffee shop there.
Yeah, Cafe Centro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And there's a yoga studio and a salon and a spa and a, you know, a dry cleaners and all these, and Traversos, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a shopping center. It's sort of, you know, a little community center, which
yeah,
is
yeah, you don't have
neat.
Any of the, like, yucky things of a shopping
center. Yeah, exactly. And it's really well designed, and there are beautiful places to sit, and you look out west over, you know, into the eucalyptus groves and stuff. So it's a really nice area.
What's the timeline? What sort of timeline are you looking at?
We are at this point planning on the 20th of April. If everything goes well with mm-hmm. permitting it and the like, we're going to do a couple of pre-parties the week before, mm-hmm. And then, you know, hopefully go live on Monday the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting close.
Great. That permitting process can, you know, good luck with that.
It's the inspections and all the final details that have to be done. But we're looking good. We're looking on track. So
great.
We're getting excited.
What sort of actual cooking facilities are you going to do? Wood burning oven?
We actually have, it's a Forno Brava oven from they're based in Windsor, and it's an oven that was built in Modena in Italy and imported by Forno Bravo.
Yeah, well, they've been on the they've been on Mouthful before. It's been a few years. Is it still Jim?
And they we are actually getting a hybrid gas-wood combination.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm sure some people might be aware, the county is becoming a lot stricter on full-bore wood burning.
Yes.
And like Sebastopol, no one can get permits for it anymore. It's, you know, it's an emissions concern. So mm-hmm. this was a way the county, you know, liked the fact that we were doing a hybrid with the gas and wood so we wouldn't have as much wood emissions.
And how does that work? I mean...
So it's basically they cut a space out of the floor of the oven in the very back, and they put a gas burner in the bottom, and then there's a electronic control, so you set it to what temperature you want, and then we'll have a small wood fire as well, and that will keep the flavor.
Oh, so they work simultaneously.
Yeah.
It's not one or
exactly.
the other.
And the gas will come on and off. So that the, you know, it'll help maintain a steady temperature of what mm-hmm. we want. and then we'll keep feeding the wood more for to help with the color, to brown the whatever food we're doing in there, and then to add a little bit of that traditional smoky flavor as well.
Interesting. So you'll have that, and then you'll have will you also have the traditional cooking line?
Yep, exactly. Uh-huh. So we'll have a grill. So we're going to do our one American concession. We're going to be doing a burger at lunch, which we just know people in the area, they're always looking for a good burger.
Yeah.
And we feel like we can, you know, we can provide that. So we will have a burger at lunch. And then we're going to have at nighttime is going to be where we focus more on our pasta. Mm-hmm. And so we have an Italian pasta boiler that's mm-hmm. also from imported, and it has six different baskets in it, so you can have up to 12 orders of pasta going at any given time, mm-hmm. Which is an amazing dance for whoever is actually working that station. It's
sure.
one of the more complicated stations I've ever worked on in a restaurant. And then we'll have the traditional sort of more sauté and an area that does the salads. And at lunch, they'll be doing some grilled panini sandwiches and things mm-hmm. like that. So, yeah, it's pretty traditional mm-hmm. in its setup.
Well, we're going to take a quick musical break and come back and talk about what that means, traditional Italian, in more detail. You're listening to Mouthful here on KRCB. My guest this evening from Santi or Taverna Santi?
It's actually Santi now.
Okay. Doug Sweat and Liza Hinman. And it seems to me, and I don't think I'm wrong with this, that one of the things Santi really made a name for itself with was the pasta, the spaghettini, mm-hmm. Calabrese al sugo.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
People are so many stories about that pasta.
In fact, I was so sorry when you guys, the last couple of weeks or so when you were selling mm-hmm. the quart jars of it, I so wanted to get up there and get a jar, and I just never had the chance to get up to Geyserville. And I hear stories, Ray Tang, you probably know mm-hmm. Ray Tang.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One time he was with a friend, and I think they called and ordered, 12 orders to go. So, and it's so very good.
Yes.
And when the restaurant first opened, I had Franco Dunn and Tom Oden, the opening owners and chefs, I had them on, and they talked about that. And if I remember correctly, it was Thomas Oden's grandmother's recipe.
Exactly.
What can you tell? Refresh my memory about that.
So it was based on a traditional family recipe of Thomas's, and he had a clobbering grandmother who would make something very similar in Italy, and she and her family brought it over, and he remembered it as his childhood greatest, you know, food memory. And so when he and Franco got together to start Santi, they created a version of the sauce that would work great in a restaurant setting and put it on the menu day one, and it's never been off since that moment. And it's a beautiful dish of it's braised beef ribs and pork ribs that are cooked super slowly, browned, and then cooked in this beautiful tomato sauce with battuto, which is the Italian term for mirepoix, carrots, onion, celery. And then there's garlic and tomato, olive oil, and then a little bit of chili flake, and it's braised and for 8 hours until the meat is absolutely falling off the bones. And then we pick the meat off the bones and add it back into this tomato gravy, this beautiful mm-hmm. sauce. And then it works with all sorts of different pastas. It's great with the rigatoni, or it's great with the spaghetti, and we've served it with the spaghettini, and it's been, you know, just forever a fanatical hit. You know, people crave it, and that's one of the reasons we existed for so long in Geyserville, was the spaghettini would pull people from 30 miles away, because they just
pull people
had
from
to have
Sebastopol.
It.
Yeah. And I will confess, from the first, I didn't have it the first time I was there, but the time I did have it, I never had anything else.
Yeah.
I would maybe have a little side dish. I love the braised greens. Mm-hmm. Your braised greens are brilliant. But I could not walk in to that place and not have that.
And you weren't the only one. We would keep a running tally sometimes of how many we would sell in a night. And I remember about a year and a half into working there, I was working the pasta station, and I think I won the belt. I think I served 48 orders in one evening.
Wow.
And that was the record at that point. I think it's mm-hmm. probably been surpassed since then. But, you know, it was just unbelievable. Out of, you know, a third of the people coming in for the evening were ordering that dish.
Yeah, it's one of those absolute classics.
Yeah.
Well, the first year we were open, it had already become the popular dish. Mm-hmm. And it was a Saturday night where we had under-prepped and ran out about 8 o'clock with the still full hour and a half to go. And that was probably my worst night as general manager. Came in the next day and talked to Tom and Franco and said, "Don't ever do that again. You'll be looking for a general manager."
There must have been a lot of people who didn't
very
know what
disappointed.
To do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So let's talk about what really authentic Italian food means. I think we probably know to a fair degree in Sonoma County.
Definitely.
Now.
I think now, yeah, in the past few years, more and more restaurants are following this tradition that was started by Thomas and Franco. Really, they were kind of groundbreakers in Sonoma County for this style of food. And in that, they're looking beyond what a lot of people would consider Italian, but it's almost more Italian-American.
Exactly. Italian-American is what so many people knew for so long.
Exactly.
And I think if you move out of the either wine country areas or metropolitan areas, mm-hmm. that still is.
Absolutely. Yeah. It still is. And, you know, it's all based in traditional Italian food, but it's been passed down through a couple generations, and some of it's more convenience-based, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not, because as simple as Italian traditional food is, and it is really simple, it's involved in its preparation mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, Americans, I think in general, in food preparation in the past 30 years, you know, sort of got away from the more involved labor-intensive foods and went more for convenience foods. And now I think there's been a great resurgence in people wanting to, you know, prepare everything from scratch, picking out the produce, picking out the meat from their markets, and you know, doing everything from the beginning to end. And that's really what Italian food is, true Italian food is all about as well. It's very seasonal, it's very simple, and it's all about using everything that you have, you know, and preparing it simply and to the best of its, you know, mm-hmm. The best of its ability.
Mm-hmm. How did you get involved both in Santi and in cooking in general?
I started cooking after I graduated from college. I'm from the East Coast, and I was got a job in New York working for a gourmet magazine right out of college.
Oh, really? What were you doing?
I was an editorial assistant for the food department, and it was a great job. And I got to talk about food all day and research food all day and edit recipes and things. And after about a year, I realized all I did all day was talk about food, and all I wanted to do was actually make the food. Mm-hmm. So I took the chance and applied to culinary school in California in San Francisco and picked up and moved out here and sort of had worked in San Francisco for about 4 years. And my last job there was at Delfina restaurant in San Francisco. And that was where I started to develop my passion for Italian. And Craig Stoll was an amazing chef and really taught me a lot. I was only there for about a year, but I absorbed a ton there. And then I moved to Sonoma County because my husband is from Healdsburg.
Oh.
And his family owns the downtown bakery in Healdsburg.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Small.
It is. It's a very small world.
Alert.
Small, yeah, exactly. Small food world for sure. So I kind of followed him up here looking for new opportunities. And I met he and my husband Joe and Dino were playing on the same softball team. And Dino was desperately looking for
Dino,
a cook.
Okay, and Dino became the chef. I mean, just.
Yes, exactly.
So at one point, Franco had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he started focusing more energy on his sausage endeavors.
Exactly.
And then so. Was Dino the sous chef?
Yeah, Dino was the sous chef, and then he took over the kitchen, and he was chef for several years before, until he started Diavola.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left Diavola, I had been started part-time, and then I was sous chef for him, and then when he moved on to Diavola, I took over the reins of Santi.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been running the kitchen for about a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, it has its moments of difficulty. The last year
Any restaurant kitchen does.
Yeah, exactly. The last year was very challenging, I think, for every restaurant with the economy and everything. But it was a great learning process as well. We learned to make the most of very little and, and making the most of every ounce of our kitchen talent as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a strong lesson in just how to run a business and stay afloat in difficult times, which is an incredibly important lesson to run any successful business. So I think it can only help and benefit us in the more successful times ahead.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you notice during this really difficult year, what sort of changes did you notice in your customers?
We definitely became more of a special occasion restaurant. You know, we went from people dropping in for a bowl of pasta on a Tuesday night to, oh, we have an anniversary, let's go to Santi.
Okay.
You know, so that, I think people were just reassessing how often they wanted to go out to dinner and what they were, what they were looking for as far as, value for their dollar. And so, even a bowl of pasta became a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was one of our biggest changes in our customer base.
Also, I think the eating habits definitely did change when they were eating out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of
that's
three
sort of
courses,
what I'm
curious about. It was two courses.
Okay.
Two courses, it was one course.
So they just started eating less.
Mm-hmm. And sharing.
Uh-huh.
And there was definitely they still wanted to eat out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still saw people out, and the volume didn't change that much, but the eating habits definitely did, and they were definitely watching the wallets a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm. And I assume that also influenced what people were drinking and how they drank, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Less expensive wines. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or by the glass instead of a bottle.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people bringing their own bottles in if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It was just across the board. It was definitely, when I went out, I was doing the same thing. So I understood it, but it didn't make it any easier for us, that's for sure.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing, though. And I think in the end, I mean, I feel bad for the businesses that haven't made it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I think in the end, if this is a long term, if our economy is really changed for a while. Some people speculate that it has.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may have learned some interesting things.
Oh, absolutely.
Both on the business end and on the customer end.
Mm-hmm. Of what people want.
What people want and how one thing that really struck me is in Buenos Aires a few years ago, and they were going through really hard economic times. And at 3 a.m, everybody was, the restaurants were so busy. People, this was 3 a.m. on a weeknight.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get up and go to work. And they would go out, but they would, maybe 6 people would get one salad and one main course, and they would share.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having lots of fun. I think that was the thing. The economy was depressed, but the people weren't.
Mm-hmm.
They were still out having lots of fun. And I think that that's a really good thing to learn.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. It's restaurants are about, you know, having a fun family experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's such a great social environment. And, you know, more and more we've started to base our service around that kind of feel. And the new Santi is going to be a little bit more family-oriented, a little more relaxed, a little more neighborhood-friendly, and, you know, moving away from the fine dining trend, you know, as so many restaurants are, because they want to be a comfortable, casual place where people can enjoy themselves and just relax and have a nice time.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have a community table?
We're going to have a couple larger-sized tables that at times will be a community table or fit at one big group, depending on...
I love the ideas of community tables. I just, you know, I want more people to do that.
Yeah. We have... And, you know, I think a lot of people are receptive to that idea. And then there are some people who just refuse.
Yes. Yes. One of the stories I've told more than once here on Mouthful. Oliveto, which you must know, down in Oakland.
Course.
Very early, gosh, I think it was like 91 or 93, Oliveto started doing weekly community dinners. They called it Alla Tavola. And you showed up, you sat where they sat you with other people, and then they brought out platters of food. And I went by myself because I just thought it sounded like such a great idea. And of course, like, there were probably 8 to 10 people at the table, and 3 or 4 of us had friends in common. Mm-hmm. And it was, the food was fabulous. It wasn't precious or fancy. It was just, there was one platter of omelet set up and sliced with roasted asparagus. It was so simple and so good. Then there was a pasta dish, very country style. And I don't remember what the dessert was, but that's typical of me. And I think there was a big bowl of salad. But it was so, it was such a great thing. And it was such a bomb. People did not like it. It was way ahead of its time for the Bay Area. And you're starting to see, I think people are a little more amenable to it these days. Though not the family style service.
Well, we actually have, that's one of been our greater successes, I'd say, in the past 2 years, and we're going to continue in the new Santi, is a night we call the Santi Supper Club. And it's a Sunday night, very similar to what you were just describing. It's a preset menu, and we base it on a specific region, typically.
Right. Yeah, I have always written about that in Mouthful of the Column.
Exactly, and the same idea where we would line up the tables and just sort of have communal seating and seat people with maybe people they'd never met before, and then you know, bring in just big platters of all the different specialties of if it was Tuscany or Piemonte or whatever, and you know, and do a couple courses, and it was the most entertaining evening for the kitchen because we got to dive into more regionally based cuisine than we ever usually get a chance to explore. And people would walk in with medium expectations if they hadn't been there before, and they would walk out just blown away by the food.
Oh, that's great.
And how, you know, just how much they loved these things that they would never have ordered if they had been given an option on the menu.
And what about the interaction between the strangers? Did they warm to each other?
They did, and it was fun for the front of the house, too, just because it was a completely different type of service.
Sure.
And you would have to convince a lot of people that this is fine. You have
like, really,
to
it's going to be okay.
They're not going to bite.
Yeah.
But at the end of the evening, they were, you know, telling stories back and forth. They made new friends, and that was, you know, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
I think it's a really great thing.
And it is. I mean, Sonoma County, while it's, you know, there are a lot of people here, it's a small community. And and they always, as you said, they would always find someone in common that they knew at the table, or, you know, something in common, or, you know, make plans to meet there again the following month and things like that. So it was just, it was a great experience overall, I think, for a lot of our customers and for all of us who worked there.
Now, are you're going to continue this?
Yes, we are.
And it's monthly or weekly?
It's monthly.
Okay,
it'll be on Thursday nights, the last Thursday of the month. So it'll be, we haven't decided our first one, but we'll be doing it. May will be our first month.
May? Okay. Yeah. May will be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay. How about some more music there, Lawrence? Thank you. roasted clams. You have oven, I think. Where is it? Mm-hmm. Yes, you have roasted clams on here somewhere. There they are, oven roasted clams. This is something that has gotten so popular so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Or pan, even clams dry roasted in a pan.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, people are just starting to love them. And I was so surprised because mussels for so long were the dominant bivalve, shall we say. And we couldn't get enough in, just sell out every night. And and we'd always sneak clams in there, and they just never do the same. And the past couple of years, it's just been changing, and it's exciting. I mean, I love clams. They're just, you know, they're so versatile. You can do so many things with them.
And they're really good for you.
And yeah, they're great for you. So it's great that we are finally getting a really receptive audience mm-hmm. for them. And yeah, they're just, you know.
So how do you do them?
Well, we do lots of different versions, but the most popular, I would say, we were doing was a la Diabla, a spicy version, mm-hmm. And that was with a spicy sausage and a little bit of extra chili flake, a little garlic, white wine or a little bit of vermouth, mm-hmm. and some green onions. And then finished at the end. And so it just, you know, a nice steamy, spicy broth with a little bit of sausage mm-hmm. in there and steam the clams. And now that we have our wood oven, we'll be able to roast them in the oven. And so they get a little smoky flavor from that.
That'll be
as well.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Yeah.
I think it'll be great.
What are some of the other, have you seen other similar changes where a food that you would like to work with just wasn't happening and all of a sudden, give me more, dominated?
Well, I think things like sardines have taken off in the past few years, and mm-hmm. people are more and more willing to try these delicious bluefish that, you know, they just normally, a few years ago, they would have turned their nose up at and said, I'm not so sure. But I think a combination of people starting to understand those delicious, oily, rich flavors, mm-hmm. and also understanding the health benefits of eating little sustainable fish like anchovies yeah. and sardines, people just are excited about them and, you know, wanting to try the different preparations and realizing how delicious, especially Italian and Spanish food, I'd say. Mm-hmm. You know, they just, it's all over the coastal cuisines of those regions. And
oh, nothing like sitting somewhere along the Mediterranean and eating sardines.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, and you do, let's see, how do you do your sardines with? Oh, with cannellini beans and green garlic.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a spring version. But
sure.
We've done them, you know, we've done them grilled, we've done them roasted, we've done them fried, we've done, you know, we've done them in the pasta, like linguine con le sarde is one of mm-hmm. an absolute, sort of a Sicilian style with a little saffron and pine nuts and currants mm-hmm. and fennel, lots of fennel. And it's like just an amazing pasta. But it's, you know, it's one of those, you have to convince someone to try, but once they do, they're hooked.
Yeah. And then they start coming back for that.
Yeah.
There was
definitely.
A time, there was a restaurant long ago in Sebastopol that had a note next to the phone, sardines with a question mark, call Michelle and my phone number. And my car got stuck in the mud one rainy season, and I walked to town to get the sardines. That was the only great. Place in Sonoma yeah. County you could get them for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah. And now, I mean, they've got sustainable, you know, fisheries in Monterey Bay again. Mm-hmm. So it's just, we're able to get them fresh locally yeah. and they're just amazing. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. K&L Bistro, I think, was maybe the first restaurant mm-hmm. Of the modern incarnate. That was Sapphire Minks I was referring mm-hmm. to, and they closed really quickly. It was sad, they were way ahead of the times. I think they opened and closed in 94. Mm-hmm. But K&L Bistro, which opened in 2001, and I think by 2003, maybe 2004, they had put sardines, they've taken it off the specials menu and they just have it on the regular menu yeah. and they're always
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it's great.
So I'm looking at some of the other things. Tell me about lasagna verde.
Lasagna verde is one of the pasta dishes that it's a spring and summer pasta. The pasta itself is made with spinach, so it has a beautiful green uh-huh. color to the pasta itself. And then, depending on the season, the spring we'll be doing it with some beautiful bellwether ricotta, and we often do it with peas, or we can our artichokes, asparagus, mm-hmm. all the beautiful green spring
yeah.
veggies, and we'll make kind of basically a ragu of those vegetables and layer them with the ricotta and a little bit of Parmesan, and just do the layers of pasta mm-hmm. and vegetables. build it all up and bake it, and we will finish it in the wood-burning oven, so it'll get a nice little crispy crust on the top and and just be gooey and cheesy and, you know, just ring of spring. Which,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really, really good.
It's always a huge hit when it hits the menu every spring.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's representative so much of Italian, how Italian food works so perfectly with our Sonoma County bountiful produce, that the seasons, you know, and what we grow here just fits right into the food that we like to do at Santi, and that you'd find at the same time of year in Italy. So yeah. it works out amazingly.
Yeah, I think we have so much in common with the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so many things. I mean, riding the train through, say, Liguria, and mm-hmm. looking at the fields of artichokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the olive trees on all the terraces, sure. And the lemon trees. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So what sort of thoughts bring you, Doug? We're talking about food here and mm-hmm. excluding you. what are some of your hopes and thoughts about what's going to happen with the new restaurant?
Well, I've never been as excited about a project that I've done.
Mm-hmm. Were you in restaurants before you came to Santi?
Before, I was up in Seattle working as a regional manager for an Italian restaurant chain that was eventually bought out by Wolfgang Puck. That was the most recent. But I'm actually from Sonoma. I was the town of Sonoma, uh-huh. where I managed a couple small restaurants, and then
Which ones?
A place called Zeno's.
And yes, I know Zeno's well.
And Piatti.
Okay, I knew both of those.
And then I was a manager for the Kenwood Inn and Spa when it first opened. So, but then I went up to Seattle for about 10 years. Uh-huh. But when I came back, Santi was just opening and looking for a general manager, so mm-hmm. it actually worked out great.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the new Santi goes, I'm excited because we're not limited. There were certain restrictions that we had geographically.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't run lunch on a consistent basis. We couldn't do...
Just not enough people who can have lunch in Geyserville.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's just not enough walk-by traffic up mm-hmm. there, or traffic period, except in the height of the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
We... at least in theory, can be less seasonal. We can do a business that is more well-rounded. It's easier to keep a staff and a happy staff.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to go from lunch to dinner straight through the wood-burning oven, wood-burning oven is, I think, going to be a great thing, because we can do a lot of different things with it.
Mm-hmm.
We've also hired Jillian Balance, who's our new sommelier, and I'm very excited about her. She was most recently as part of the...
The Plump Jack Group.
yes, thank you. Plump Jack Group. Mm-hmm. And just signed on with us uh-huh. to do a list of about 150 wines, roughly 50-50 Italian versus domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean Del Coletto is coming along, who's been our wine or our bar manager since the beginning, and is a very creative bartender as well as bar manager.
Mm-hmm.
And this will allow him to kind of spread his wings a little bit, mm-hmm. having a more, you know, being open more often and having a kind of a consistent traffic.
Yeah, a more vibrant bar scene, yeah. I think
it will be a full bar.
Yes.
It will be a full bar.
Right. And it's been a full bar up in Geyserville,
right?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. And we're going to have a bar menu that will, you know, go along with the, with the cocktails, and it'll be available for most of the day, and we'll just have, you know, snacks, and we're calling them cicchetti, which is a Venetian mm-hmm. term for snack, and just, you know, little bites, and also a few of the lighter menu items off of our lunch menu, so people can come and just sit at the bar and have a nibble and a cocktail, you know, in the middle of the afternoon or 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. So will you seat as late as 10?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hope that works.
I know.
I really
we'll
do.
See. You know, Fountain Grove's an an untested area, the neighborhood. So we're going to see what they're up for and what they're looking for as far as a restaurant and hours. And if the demand is there, we'll stay open. And hopefully it'll be a success.
So. Well, I think you're doing it at the right time in that the days are getting longer, summer's approaching.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that was our thought process. Yeah. We can always adjust back if need be, but we felt like to give it as
give
much,
it a fair try.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many times when... You know, it's 8:45, and you're not going to get dinner anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
I really want restaurants to be successful with that that later hour.
Yeah. And it just, I think in the summer, our patio is just going to be such a nice spot to sit and have a late dinner, you know, on a warm August evening, that last bit of sunset, and, you know, just relax into the summer night. It'll be a great spot for that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's great that you're next to Traverso's.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have a true anchor and nice people.
Wonderful people, and I mean that's Italian.
Yeah,
Sonoma County Italian.
They believe exactly
to me.
In what we believe in as far as food and customer service, and you know, just making it one big happy family out there, which is great.
Yeah, I was talking to George Traverso the other day, and he was very. I usually go on Saturday afternoons, and he's very much looking forward to the opening. He thought it was going to be really great for everybody.
Yeah, I think they're going to be great for us. We're going to be great for them, and we're hoping to be able to even do some partnerships down the road, do some wine dinners with them.
Oh, that's a great
and
idea.
Things like that.
That's a great
because,
idea.
You know, they have a great. Wine selection there.
Yeah, and between Bill and Michael, there's so much knowledge.
Yeah.
And I mean, the other people there, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But they tend to be the two who are sort of at the forefront of talking to people about it.
Yeah, when I was looking for a site up there, I had already seen that the Parkway. But I didn't know that this was long before Traverso's had moved in, and I didn't know that they were even thinking about moving, and when I found that out, that was the
seal the deal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take one more musical break. Obviously, tonight's musical theme is Puccini opera, and if you're having Italian dinner, you might as well be listening to Puccini. It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan here on KRCB. And yeah, at this time of year, I listen to a lot of opera. I listen to a lot of Puccini arias. And I don't. Some people have told me that's cheating, that you're supposed to sit through the whole opera to get to the aria, or you can't appreciate it properly. But you know what? When it comes to opera, I go to the greatest hits. What are you going to do for music at Santi?
We were just discussing that. I think we've always lean towards jazz. That's been kind of our go-to, but we're going to be a little more eclectic now and sort of...
So much great Italian music.
Yeah, there is. There absolutely is. And, you know, it's you know, along with a slightly more modern setting, we're kind of going with a little more, you know, we'll have just a different feel and a different atmosphere. So, you know, the more that the space is coming together, the more it's kind of like provoking thoughts in our heads of what we want the whole vibe to be like.
Sure. What's the interior going to be like? I know that's sometimes hard to talk about that so people can see it, but...
Sean E. Hall designs, she did the original Santi, and she's doing this space for us as well. And we're really excited about what she's been able to incorporate some of the old features from the original Santi, and we have a lot of the antique grill work, that iron work that we had at the old Santi, we've brought with us, but incorporating some more modern touches too, in that we've got some beautiful bars that they're actually building this week. It's made with bamboo is the wood on the front, so we're trying to use some sustainable and green products and putting it all together in a beautiful stone surface on both the drinking bar as well as the kitchen. It's an open kitchen.
Oh,
so we're going to have a bar that runs along the front area that people can watch the action at the oven and what's going on in the kitchen. And we've kept a lot of our, we had these beautiful handcrafted chairs at the old restaurant. We've kept those, mm-hmm. but we're doing wood top tables instead of no more tablecloths. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, making it a little more comfortable environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Light wood, dark wood.
They're,
combination?
They're sort of in between.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're nice though. We're excited about it. It's all coming together. This is the, you know, they're installing the kitchen this week. They're building the tables. They're, you know, all these details every day. It changes so quickly, and it really is becoming a restaurant. So it's really exciting.
And so we're looking at April 20th. Mm-hmm. What about the website? Are you keeping? Are there going to be updates? Will people be able to go to the website and think, okay, they're on track. It's opening.
So we have two ways to keep in touch. One is SantiRestaurant.com, which is our new website, and we've launched at this point just a holding page with. It does have sample menus and our new phone number, and then Open Table will be back up and running soon to be able to take reservations as well.
Okay.
And then we also have a fan page on Facebook.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And so people can become a fan.
And is it
Santi Restaurant?
Santi Restaurant.
Yep, exactly.
It's going to take me a while to get used to not saying Taverna Santi.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that we've been transitioning towards for several years now. And so it's you know, a lot of people are having a similar reaction. But it's just... we're not a roadside tavern anymore.
Yeah.
So we've got to change the name with the times.
Do people ever get confused with you and then Sante?
Yes.
I do.
Well, Sante won a Michelin star this past year, and you couldn't believe the number of congratulation phone calls we got.
Why,
Sante? We just gracefully accepted. we should have gotten a Michelin star, so thank you.
Diane Peterson did the story about Sante's chef. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks at Centerpiece Feature in the food section. When I first saw it, you know, I was busy. I was like, wait, Liza's the chef. Who's this guy? And it's like, oh, I did that again.
Yeah, of course,
the restaurant at the Sonoma Mission Inn.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we've also gotten produce deliveries for them, and they've gotten some for us, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
The guy taking the order at 11 o'clock at night got a letter or two confused.
Sure.
Thankfully, it usually works out.
I had a six top 10 days before we closed, right before Christmas, and I was at the front desk just insisting they had a reservation,
Oh, no.
Yeah,
they were supposed to be in Sonoma.
Yeah.
Did they stay or did they try to
race?
They
ended up staying.
They did.
Yeah.
Good. That's really funny. Well, thank you so much to both of you for coming
absolutely.
Down.
Thanks for having us.
And we should just sum this up. Santi Restaurant opening April 20th. Santi Restaurant, it's Santi with an I. SantiRestaurant.com is the website. Do you want to give your new phone number?
Yeah, it's 528-4915.
528-4915. Again, it's at the corner of Fountain Grove and Stagecoach in Santa Rosa, next to Traversos. And Mouthful, this episode of Mouthful will be available as a podcast probably by Wednesday, either at krcb.org and at iTunes. You can put a link to it on your fan book page if you want. You can always write to me at catsmilk@sonic.net if you have any questions about tonight's show or any other show. And, of course, you can become a fan of Mouthful on Facebook as well and stay up to date. Meantime, that's it. I'll be back here live 2 weeks from tonight. We'll have something yummy for you on Easter. Have a great couple of weeks, and maybe I'll see you at the Sebastopol Farmers Market next Sunday.